Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my help and my God. Since we began this series in the book of Psalms several weeks ago, each psalm we have read, each psalm we have referenced, has been a psalm written either by David or for David. And so in today's passage, we find a psalm from an author that is a little less known to most of us. In most Bibles, when we turn to Psalm 42, we find these words, "To the leader, a maskil of the Korahites." Now, what does that mean? And what does that have to do with anything? Well, the Korahites were a distinguished family of priestly lineage. Korah was the son of Kohath. Kohath was the son of Levi, and Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who would later make up the 12 tribes of Israel. The Korahites go back a long way, and even going all the way back to the time of King David, the Korahites were associated with the music of worship in the temple. So to say that Psalm 42 is a maskil of the Korahites, most scholars would say that a maskil was a class of composition. To say it was a maskil of the Korahites is another way of saying it was a hymn, it was a prayer from the Korahite collection, the Korahite family found in the temple. Now, why is any of that important? Why should we know really anything about who wrote this psalm, and does that influence the meaning of it whatsoever? Well, the author of this psalm, again, most likely from the family of the Korahites, was clearly going through a difficult time. And we find that in the very first verse. In the very first verse, he writes, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, Oh God." And then he takes it a step further. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night, as people say continually, where is your God?" Clearly, this was someone going through a hard time. Someone whose days and nights were filled with sadness and grief. Someone who was desperately longing for God's presence to be near. You know, when I read this psalm, it doesn't take me long to hear the struggle in this writer's voice, the struggle in his words. The author was clearly going through a difficult time, and he makes that obvious from the very start. And yet, what might not be so obvious to us is why. Why was this person going through such a difficult time? What was the source of his sadness and grief? Well, I guess the answer to that question is the reason I have brought this psalm with me to worship today. You see, I too, as I shared at the beginning of this worship, come troubled today. And my reasoning for that is very similar to the writer of this psalm. And I guess the best way for me to explain that is to go all the way back to the summer of 2013. I've always known when God first called me into ministry that one day He would call me to preach. That was clear from the very beginning, but oftentimes that was in the background. That was something that I just wasn't ready to begin. So somewhere between the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013, that call, that desire moved from the background to the forefront, front and center. And though I was terribly sad to leave my youth group, I loved each and every one of them dearly. Most of them. I knew in that year that God was calling me to preach. And so with the help of Jack Halsey, Whitney and I began that journey. We began to accept interviews and we began talking with other churches. It seemed as though we were in a different interview, a different church every other month. The problem was that we didn't feel called to any of them. No matter how much I was ready to preach, no matter how much I felt God leading me in this direction, no matter how many churches we visited, something wasn't right about each and every one. We didn't feel led. We didn't feel called to any of them. So in that summer, the summer of 2013, I was with, Whitney and I were with my family on our annual summer beach trip, and my brother and I were walking down the beach on Friday, the very last day that we were there. And as we were walking down the beach, he said to me, "So how's the search process going?" And a bit frustrated with the whole thing, I said to him, "Well, we're kind of done with that. We're tired of that. It's not working out. We're just going to focus on Carter." Carter was expected. He was due in about 2 weeks from that conversation. And I said, "That's where we're going to put our focus. We're not going to worry about this search. I'm not going to worry about this call. We're moving on from that and we're going to focus on Carter." I said that on a Friday afternoon. On Saturday, we went home and we pulled in our driveway at our house in Whiteville. We had a mailbox on the front porch. And as we pulled in, there was this packet of information sitting below the mailbox. Whitney and I walked over to that packet and we picked it up, and it was from First Baptist Graham. And as we sat down and began to read that packet, we felt what had been missing. We felt in that moment God's call. We felt in that moment a powerful sense of God's presence with us. And in the last 4.5 years, that presence and that call could not be any more powerful. We have felt God's presence in this place. We have felt God's presence through each of you in powerful ways that we cannot explain. Through you, we have felt God's joy as you have cared for us, as you have nurtured our little boys. Through you, we have felt God's grace as you have accepted us, as you have affirmed us for who we are. Through you, we have felt God's healing as you have comforted us in times of sickness, as you have comforted us in deep times of grief. Through you, we have felt God's love as you have become a part of our family. And that's what makes this so hard. That's what makes this decision so difficult. Whitney and Carter and Parker and I love you like family. And the only way we could ever do this, the only way that we could ever accept this, the only way that we could ever go is if we felt called by God to do so. And we do feel called by God. and yet unlike before. This time, this process was not something we sought out. This process was not something we were hoping to find. This process, the entire thing, came as unexpectedly to us as did that package sitting on the front porch. And as unexpectedly as this has come, as much as we love you, despite the fact that we feel called, our hearts ache because we're going to miss you dearly. Leaving a place where the Spirit of God is so present and powerful, leaving a place where the call of God is so clear, is something to which the author of Psalm 42 could relate. Based on the information we gather in Psalm 42 and in Psalm 43, which were written by the same author, were meant to be read as a set. This member of the Korahite family was someone who led in worship. He was someone who spent a lot of time in Jerusalem, someone who spent a lot of time in the temple. He was someone who led worship, as he shared in the text, leading throngs of people with shouts and praises of God to the temple of God. And we don't know exactly why. But throughout the course of these two psalms, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, we know that for some reason he had left Jerusalem. For some reason he had left the temple, and that move was painful for him. He loved Jerusalem. God's temple was a special place for him, a place where he had led worship, a place where he had experienced the power of God in miraculous ways. And because of that, leaving it, being separated from it, was deeply saddening. It was deeply upsetting to him. And we hear that in his words all throughout. So today I read this psalm, I bring this text to you because I too can relate to this writer, and maybe some of you can as well. Yes, we feel called by God to go, and we also feel deeply saddened to leave. This has been a special place of worship for us. This has been a special place where we have experienced the presence of God. And because of that, like the reader, like the writer, we too know the tears. We too know the sadness of leaving a place that means so much to us, a people who we love as much as we love you. You know, Min Lee, one of the leaders of the Korean church that many of you will soon meet, the Korean church that First Baptist will soon partner with, opening up its doors to share a section of space in an unused part of our building, he too can relate to the writer of Psalm 42. After our unanimous vote on Wednesday night to open up our doors to invite this Korean church into our building, I went to Min Lee's house to share with him the good news, as well as to share with him my most recent announcement. So we sat there on his couch. His wife came in. She had just cut up fresh fruit. She had just made some special Korean tea for us. And as we sat there sharing in that, he was thrilled to death in the vote. He was less than thrilled with the news I had to share with him about us. And over the course of those next few minutes, as I shared with him my announcement, we sat in silence. Over the course of the last few months, he and I have developed a wonderful friendship. I have felt a kindred spirit with him from the very beginning. And we sat in that living room, we sat on that couch in silence, neither one of us really knowing what to say. And finally, Min said this. He said, "You know, Travis, it's really hard for us. It's really sad for us to leave our family at First Baptist Gibsonville. He said, they have become like family to us. We love them, and we are deeply saddened to go. He said, but we believe God is calling us to move east. We believe God is calling us to move closer to our people in Mebane and Chapel Hill and RDU. And he said, and Travis, when God calls, you've got to go. But that doesn't make it any easier. The author of Psalm 42 felt this way about leaving Jerusalem. We don't know exactly why he left. Was it a choice? Was it a mandate? What we do know is that leaving was painful for him. So what did he do? How did he respond? What was it that gave him the reassurance he needed? What was it that comforted his heart? What was it that dried the tears that he had cried day and night? What was the prayer he prayed? What we find in the first five verses of this psalm is he began with a prayer of longing. A prayer where he expressed his deep desire for God, his need for God, his longing for God's presence to be near. And in doing so, in offering that prayer of longing, in declaring his need, his desire for God to be near, he found hope. He found healing. By rediscovering the source of his help. And he said it in this way. He said, hope in God, and I shall again praise him, my help and my God. The author of Psalm 46, one of my favorites, said it this way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. God said it this way to Isaiah when the Israelites were leaving Judah. He said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Time and time again throughout the Psalms, time and time again throughout Scripture, when God's people were making a difficult transition, they too found the same assurance. As did the author of Psalm 42. And that assurance is this. Sometimes it is in the midst of our pain. Sometimes it is in the midst of the transition. Sometimes it is in the midst of our sadness and grief. Sometimes it is in the midst of longing for God, needing His presence the most, that we experience healing, that we experience His hope the best by rediscovering the source of our help. I think that's why the author of Psalm 146 said it this way, happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. In the coming days, out of all of the things that we could do, out of all of the things that we must do, may we remember most importantly to hope in God. For in doing so, we are assured that we will once again praise Him by rediscovering our help and our God. Our hymn of commitment.